Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Welcome to, like, a church service. How about we call it that? I know a lot of times you can get on Facebook. This is my personal Facebook page, but church is closed today, and churches all across the St. Louis area are closed, and I just wanted to come on and be encouraging because there's going to be enough videos out there that are full of chaos and turmoil and tumult and messiness that I wanted to come in and bring some life and speak some encouragement. Do you need that? I need that. I need that for my life on a daily basis. So let's just pray. God, would you come and get in the middle of this conversation of this time? Father, would you help us to set it aside that we can look for you and maybe listen for a word of the Lord today? So we come to places like this for a word from you, God. Would you get in the middle? Father, help us to be diligent to get into our worship while we're snowed in. Help us to make the most of the time that we're at home, God. Thank you for ordering the snow day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I hope that you're all safe. Hope everybody's nice and warm. If anybody has a need, go ahead and message us on here. And if we don't have a resource, we'll figure out a way to get resources out there. We're not just by ourselves, one little group or one little church. We have a lot of churches in the St. Louis area with Foursquare Ministries. So I wanted to encourage us about, you know, making the best of situations. In church, we've been talking about reverence and how our culture is sorely missing reverence. How it's just absent. Reverence is when you have a deep respect for something or someone. You revere them, you honor them. And those kinds of things are just absent from society. And in a quick recap, that's what we've been discussing. You know that we talked about King David last week and how he wouldn't touch what God had anointed, even though he was called to be the king. He wouldn't take out his predecessor, the king. He wanted.
I can't hear you. Amen.
Oh, they're trying to get into it.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You know what? I think I got you guys trying to join me live instead of just be on it. Let's see. Change to a viewer. Sorry about that, guys. Is that better? Yeah, I've invited people to join me live, but that means they can come into the conversation, so I might have to mess with that a little bit as we go, but anyway, back to the idea of reverence, you know, learning how to be respectful and learning how to have honor, things that are largely missing in our culture. And as a matter of fact, our culture honors irreverence. Our culture enjoys being irreverent. Now, when I was a kid, that was fun and cool. You know, we'd try to smoke our cigarettes and say the cuss words and defy the teacher and all that kind of thing. And to be honest, I mean, if I'm with the right people, I could still enjoy some of that. But as you grow and you become an adult, you start to understand that those are childish ways. They're childish things. Now, humor is fun and enjoying life is fun and being able to laugh at yourself, that is a gift too. But there's something about irreverence that is just eroding all the things that we hold dear in our society, in our country, in our families. And so I want to speak about that for a minute. You know, what can you honor today? What can you reverence? What do you have respect for? And some people will say immediately, well, respect is earned. And sometimes it is. Sometimes respect is earned. I understand. But if someone didn't give me a cause to disrespect them, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk with as much honor toward God and men as I can. Not everybody. Not everybody. If somebody threatens my family, if somebody is opposing my way of life, it's hard to bestow honor, but you can still display your disposition and act in a way that is honorable, that has integrity. You checking with me? All right, that's good. So a lot of things, you know, come on here and come on videos and social media that try to divide us. If it's political, if it's your opinion, people like to put their loud opinion out. I'm like this. If I have a thought, because I always think I'm right, don't you? I always think I'm right. So what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, I believe that. I believe that that's the right way to think and it's the right thing to say. And I sometimes feel obligated to share that with people who have an opposing view. Now, I'm married to someone who is completely not like that. They know their view. He knows his view. He's very confident in what he believes. And he doesn't feel the need to correct someone else if they're out there. And it drives me insane. Drives me crazy. Because I feel like our voice should be heard out there. I feel like we should share with the masses, but in a way that is palatable and acceptable, a conversation more than a correction, more than an iron fist. Believe me, I've lost some friends with my strong opinions and my strong views, and I really want to honor and esteem humanity over, you know, a political thought. I really try to do that because I believe eternity is in the balance of all this. So I'm called to be a reconciler, and you are too. So we always say at our church that the job of the minister is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's you, the saints, the called, the chosen, the elect, the children of God, the disciples. Our job is to reconcile men back to God. That's good. What does that mean? Help somebody come to conclusions that they are a sinner, that they are in need of repentance, just like you, just like me. And that when we call on the name of the Lord, he brings forgiveness and then salvation. You get washed free of all of your sin, of all of the stain. He doesn't just make you clean. He makes you new in his presence. And our job is to spread that word, to speak the gospel. When Jesus left, he didn't say that was an option. He gave that to us as our duty. So let's be the people that shout out positivity and good words today on the internet. That's my heart. That's my hope. So let's see. Let's lean into something a little bit more nourishing today, a little bit more soul food. You know, it's easy to believe that God is good and that he is a sustainer of us when everything's going well and everything is right on track in life. And there have been a few glorious moments like that in my lifetime that I can look back on. But most of the time I'm in between. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for something to come to pass, something that I believe that God promised. I'm believing. I'm standing on the word. I'm waiting for the thing to manifest. Okay? So I trust God to be my sustainer when things are good and when things are bad. So, you know, good things. What are the best things that have ever happened in life? Take a minute and set your brain in this direction. The best stuff you ever see is probably seeing your children born, if you had the privilege to be a mom. Or looking in the eyes of the person that you love the most in the world and you say, I do. It's a good day, right? Some people are nature lovers. You love the woodsy path and the smells of the outside and the sunset and all those things. You love those. They're high points. They're moments in life you can reflect on. And all those things are good. But alongside that, there's hard days. There's just hard stuff that's hard to navigate through. And I know a lot of us are sitting at a crossroad like that while we're snowed in at home. And when you're busy, you can distract yourself from the hard thing. But when you're still and you're home and you're stuck at home, you got to face those things. And I believe God orders the snow day. I hope that makes sense to your soul. I hope you receive it. God orders the snow day because your soul doesn't want to sit and wait in silence for anything. It wants to run forward and be in charge and have control. So another thing you learn as you reach a certain age that you're not in control. You're not in control of very much. And so you learn to, the things you can be in charge of, you be in charge of them. And the things that you have no control over, you have to trust the Lord, God, that he will sustain everything, that he holds the future, that he is in charge. Some of the hard stuff that, you know, I'm talking about is like when you lose your job or you don't know where you're going to live. You've got a move coming up like us. You have chronic pain in your body and you don't know, God, when are you going to restore me? When are you going to heal me, God? How long? I trust you, God. You've lost somebody close to you. God, I trusted you. I don't, how could you let this happen? And you find yourself in this hard, hard place, and it's just a fact of life. There's hard places. And I wanted to look at some biblical examples that encourage us. You know, again, we've been talking about reverence. So reverence for God and reverence for people is kind of the idea of today. So it's easy to honor God when things are easy. It's harder to honor him when things are hard. Now look, we've looked at all of these people already in a recap kind of moment for Abraham. You know, he's having to wait 25 years for Isaac to be born after he gets the promise from God. Sarah, she's old. She's not in her prime anymore, but she's believing God for this baby and he comes. Joseph has to endure slavery and imprisonment, the rejection of his family before he sees the promise of God and the dream come to pass. Esther, we just talked about her a couple weeks ago. She only had to wait 3 days to see the fulfillment of God's, you know, wrath and protection come forward. But she had to wait a year before she would go into the king for all the king's chambers to please the king so she could come to the point of such a time as this that God called her to. Everybody, every single one of these Bible heroes have waited, and they've waited with reverence on the path to what God had called them to. That's our job too. I put Jacob on here. We studied these guys too, Jacob and Esau. Jacob has to work 14 years to get his wife. His wives, 14 years. He's got to stay under someone else's leadership and care, protection, provision, while he's trying to make his own family. And he did it. You have to wait. There's something about the waiting that God calls us to. I'm not going to take all day. I just want to take a couple minutes and encourage us with some of these truths. But I'm a preacher, so it comes out that way. So what does God honor? If you look at the things that God wants to honor in Scripture, I just jotted a few of these things down. Abraham, okay? Abraham, the father of us all, the father of many nations. Abraham was called a friend of God. God honored him because of his faithfulness and his obedience. God honors faithfulness and obedience, and he honors it in humans. Isn't that a mic drop moment that God would honor you for your longevity, for your intention, for leaning in to his purpose and his presence? That's, you know, God was called a friend of Abraham, James 2:23. David, a man after God's own heart. David had a lot of failures, but he also had a lot of successes. God calls him, you know, to eternal promises that you'll always have someone sitting on the throne. 2 Samuel 7. Mary, the mother of Jesus, God honors her. God honors her faithfulness. She was honored in being chosen to carry the Son of God. Luke 1. Highly favored, blessed among women. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord honors Elijah in a chariot of fire. Takes him right up to heaven. He doesn't even have to face death. He goes right up to heaven, 2 Kings 2. God honors the widow's mite. Jesus himself honors the widow's mite when she gives all she has. It's 2 cents, you know, 2 mites. And she gives it in the offering, Mark 12:41 through 44. The woman with the alabaster box. And she opens it and pours the oil on Jesus' feet. Luke 7. Look, God honors our faithfulness and our obedience to him, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make a lot of sense. So listen, lean in, enjoy the snow day, embrace being snuggled up, watch some movies. It's okay. You don't have to play Bible trivia all day if you're a Christian. You don't have to stay in the Word all day, but you can definitely get some moments before the Lord. Catch up on your Bible reading plan, say a prayer. You know, if you've got some elderly neighbors, you can check on them. You can maybe shovel for somebody. I know we need our parking lot taken care of at church. If anybody out there has a contact or a lead or a heart to do that, we would appreciate that. But check on the people that you care about. You know, things will be back to normal in a day or two, so try to embrace your snow day. Remember when you were a kid and it was fun and it wasn't a distraction? It was like you sat there when we were kids, and even when we had kids, we'd look on the little ticker tape on the bottom of the newsreel waiting for our school to show up, and our school would be on there, and it would be like, yes, snow day! I don't have to go to school. We don't have to go to work today. I know if you work from home, you're probably still working, but listen, it's a snow day. Take a minute. Take a breath. Let the Spirit of the Lord remind you that he's with you and he's sustaining you through the difficult and through the good. He has planned for you, and it's big. And so the reverence that you show during the waiting is a key to your future and your hope. Because you know you're going to just feel embarrassed and ashamed when he comes through, and you know he's on the way even now. So I'm going to pray for us. I'll let you get back to your snow day. Thanks for saying hi and for joining in. And I'll post this so you can watch it from the beginning if you want to. So God, would you speak to your people? Would you remind us that you are good and that you are the sustainer of us? God, I pray that you would help us to navigate through difficult places right now, and I know that you will in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us to push back the kingdom of darkness that tries to invade our space and our soul and our homes and our marriages and our integrity, God. We push back in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you just to let your light shine. You make your face to shine on us, God, and our soul knows it quite well. Father, would you bring your life and light to everyone who's in our church and checking us out today, hanging out with us this morning. God, would you speak about being a reverent people, not an irreverent, foolish, Christian, loudmouth person. That's not who you called us to be. When it's time to turn the money changers' tables, God, you'll let us know. And until then, help us to keep a reverence that represents the name of Jesus that we carry. Father, we love you. We belong to you. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Hey, everybody. This is my personal Facebook page, so if you didn't know, we have a little church. It's called The Loft. Morgan Ford. 7515 Morgan Ford. Come on, check it out if you don't have a church home. And next week, get back to church. Okay, have a great day.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.